And I'll tell you another thing that you mentioned that is a real important situation, and that's prayers of supplication. And one of the greatest things that a man can do is to remember those that need prayer.
Amen.
And that's why supplication is in there with prayer, because you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide your prayer to the Son of God, that the relief can and should come from that source. And this is what we're getting to the end of Jack's book, and this basically with what Jack was writing about Paul and Paul asking for these things right at the end of his life was things that he wanted to get taken care of before he wasn't here anymore. And also telling Timothy that you remember as we were going to these places and doing these things, how that all these things come upon Paul, but he didn't consider them to be. He just kind of looked at them as nuisance in his life, but it was, if someone else was looking at it in the same light, it might have been a real problem for them, because, you know, here was somebody that was doing the work of the Lord, and he was being evidently kind of trodden under, trodden down with all of these things that beset him. But yet, he carried on and carried on and was going to carry on till he wasn't here anymore. And so this is the deal. We got this study tonight and one more study there, and then we're going to kind of flip around a little bit and look at the people that Paul met during his lifetime after he was struck down on the Damascus Road and got his marching orders from the Lord of Heaven. And that we're going to try to go back over some of these lists here and get a more intimate view of these people that were there. And sometimes some of these people were mentioned several times, and some of them were just mentioned one time, and some of them just Paul himself mentioned just one time toward the end of his life. And so he didn't want to leave anybody out. So this is where we are today with our studies. And this is study number 222. Well, if you go and look at Jack's Workman's Interlinear in chapter 4 there, we're on page 279 with what Jack wrote. See, because the studies that I did and the pages were kind of identical. I mean,
oh, wow.
See, we didn't cover much more than one page in Jack's book.
Yeah. I can't believe we've already almost been through that whole thing.
But yeah, we're there.
That's
so
amazing.
So we're gonna kind of turn this thing on its head a little bit and look at the people that Paul met and had association with and what he had to go through with to get to these people, and sometimes he had to leave in a hurry and sometimes he didn't. So we'll remember these things when we go back through and have a little, because I'll have to make up my own scripture for that, see. Yeah. Or go back and get it, because Jack had it listed out here for us in his book, so which lists a good many of these folks, but nevertheless, we're going to try to tie them together where it makes a little more sense for us to do that. So I'm going to go back to verse 16. And we didn't finish it in our last study, but we'll go 16, 17, and 18 tonight, in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And then there's three more verses for next week. And then we'll probably do a kind of an introduction into those kind of things. And we'll see how it goes. And if it, we're not getting anything out of it more than what we already know, then we'll, it'll be worth it to go through it. But if, you know, if it gets repetitive, then we'll maybe move to something else. I thought that might be a good idea to, while we're here and while we're associated with these last seven epistles, that we might get a little more out of it. Because sometimes when you read these things again, you see things that you didn't mention before or get a clarity on what was going on. Okay, so I'm going to go back and do like we've been doing. And I'm going to read verse 16. And he was talking about Alexander the coppersmith and Demetrius the silversmith that gave Paul trouble when he first came to Ephesus. And then we get down to verse 15, and he said that they greatly withstood our words. And then down to 16, and it says this: at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. And so this was, and Paul had a little trouble with his past beliefs and understandings, and so a lot of people wouldn't take Paul at face value much. He had to prove his ministry, and he had to prove his apostleship. And so I'll just read it again. It said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, full stop. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, my notes was fairly the same. These verses of scriptures, a lot of them are personal in the private, because Paul is talking to Timothy here and trying to get him here before he dies. And there's some things he wanted to tell him and things he wanted to know before he would lose his life. So he says, at my first answer. And so we went back to Acts 22 verses 1 and went through 22:21. And this was where Paul was getting some of his marching orders from. And when you talk about his first answer, the answer there is Odias. Odias. And it says, no one or no man stood with me. And that word stood there in the Greek is sumparagiomai. And that is meaning one that became a companion or one that could back up what this man, the Apostle Paul, was saying and would verify or could testify to the fact that this was what was right now truth for today or truth for that day.
Almost, and Tony posted the definition for that word. It's almost like having an attorney there with you. Nobody, yeah. You know, stood with you on your behalf.
Yeah, that you're kind of about...
You'd be in your own lawyer.
Hung out by yourself, yeah. Okay. But, and it said, all men forsook me. And it had a full stop there because he wanted you to think about this a little bit. when you get kind of get hung out to dry, so to speak, or that people don't give you the proper understanding of what you're trying to get done or what you're trying to tell them, with the words that you're trying to tell them as being wisdom from God, that can be kind of hurtful in a man's being, heart, so to speak. And he says, I pray, may it not be. That was his prayer. May it not be, or may it not be something that they would have to answer for. And he said, I pray to God that it may not be laid to their charge. And what he had done beforehand and what he was doing now was two fully different situations. And so he didn't want anybody to be charged with not doing their duty is to give Paul the understanding of what he was trying to do and keep things going. And so this was what I think he wanted Timothy to understand. And so I'm going to read again. I don't know if I read both of them or not, but I may have read one of them last week. But I want to go back to the Philippians, and I want to do 1:14 through 19. And there's two places here we need to look at. So let's go back to Philippians 1. Go back to Philippians 1, Romans, Corinthians, and we get to Philippians right after Ephesians. And Philippians 1. Okay, here we go. And we're going to look at 14 through 19. And that would be on page, if you have a companion Bible. Let me get, I'm still using my old Bible, and the pages have got pretty dog-eared, so sometimes it takes me a little bit to get, pulled apart here. Philippians 1:14, that's on page 1774. You have a companion Bible. We're going to go from 14 to 19. And it said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Full stop. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So, some of them were really guilty of not giving Paul the time that he was asking to say and get these things going. And so they were thinking, well, we'll just add these troubles a little bit here.
Make life more difficult.
Yeah. And of course, Paul had endured a lot of afflictions anyway, so that kind of rolled off of him at this point in stage of his life. But it said, but others did it of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, it says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. So this was Paul's idea of, well, I can take it. Just dish it out for me. I can take it. But as long as the word was being preached, that was the important thing. And he said, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, because he says, I can take it. And he could take it because he knew who he was working for. He knew who had called him into this ministry, and he wasn't going to let a thing like somebody talking about him or saying, I don't believe you, or something like that. That was not going to affect Paul that much. And then verse 19 says this, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers. So here's the supplement. He said, if you pray for me, that supplication is going to take care of me, because the Holy Spirit is going to take that prayer, regardless of how it come to him, and he's going to make it right for Christ to understand what's going on here. And the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. I'm going to call it Christ Jesus here, because the Spirit was that Christ was going to use to get this understanding. Okay, so that's what Jack wanted you to see on that one. And then we're going to go all the way to 1 Peter 3 toward the end of the book. And we're going to go to 1 Peter 3. And First Peter 3, what is it? 14 to 18. Okay. I've got it right here. This is on page 1860. And we're going to read 14 through 18. And it says this, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And 16, and having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you or your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. But guess what? Quickeneth by the Spirit. He was put to death, but he didn't stay dead. He was 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish. But yet, got his life back. And God raised him up. That is one of the greatest gifts that you could give somebody. Well, my God, yeah, he died, but he didn't stay dead. He's living again, and will live again forevermore. But yet, and if they believe some other idol or God or some other thing that they worship, you could turn around and ask the man, is your God still living? So here we are. So that was what I didn't get to a little bit last week. Now we get into the study today, which is number 222 in my number. Now, I guess me and Chip don't agree with the numbers so much, but the wording out of Jack's interlinear is number 279, but mine says 222. So we were close to being the same on the pages of our different books, although, you know, mine was written in my notes, and Jack's was written in his years before. So it seems like we were covering about the same amount of ground per hour that we needed to. And verse 17 says this, and this is the 28th day of February. And I'll just read what it says out of the... let me get back over here Second Timothy. Okay, here we go. 17 says this out of the Companion Bible. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So this is a little different from 16. Because 16, Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. But guess who did?
Yep.
God, the Godhead did.
Yep.
And 17 says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And so, here's a little extra bit that I never put a whole lot of thought into, but you know, when somebody says he was rescued out of the mouth of the lion, well, what does that mean? It can mean a lot of different things.
It could be literal or it could be metaphoric.
Yeah. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'll give you my notes. And notwithstanding, there is a big old but. And I don't mean somebody's rear end. But the Lord stood with me. And so notwithstanding, I guess, out of the Greek is the little word but. The Lord stood with me and kai. The word and, there's three ands in this verse of Scripture. And the Greek word is K-I-A, or K-A-I, I'm sorry, K-A-I. And I noticed in Paul's writings, there was a good many verses down through Acts and so on, that when he wrote those things, that there was a lot of ands, because he was putting ands in there to break apart the sentence a little bit to show that it was more than one item or more than one thing going on. Okay, so here is the difference. Here is the three things going on. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So Paul got the strength from the supplications, if you will, and from the Word of God that told him that if you will do what we ask you to do, then we'll take care of you. Even to the point of death, they took care of Paul. Because he had been stoned, been in shipwreck, been in a hurricane, had been in a lot of stuff Paul had been in. And Festus, I believe it was Festus, had him in jail for about a year and a half. And that hurt Paul greatly because he wanted to be out preaching the word. And here they had him in jail until Herod came along, and then I guess after that a little while he got out. But so he was strengthened by the Lord. That by or through me, the preaching or the message may be fully known. So that's the second thing. And, here we go, and all the Gentiles might hear and have understanding of what God had put into Paul's mind and into his heart. So the ands here are pretty hefty. And that's, it said, and the Gentiles might hear, and that's a full stop. And when you think about it a minute, and this may mean that Paul established his claim that he himself was a Roman citizen, and another and there. And that the KAI was not to meet his death in their amphitheater before the lions, or that Paul, he himself, was a Roman citizen and was not to meet his death in their amphitheater before the lions, or it could be as a metaphor for Nero, his nemesis there in Rome. For he says he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So it could have been Nero as being the lion, or it could really have been a lion, because that is how the Romans took care of their enemies often, quite often. But if Paul would tell them, and he probably went before Nero and said, look, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do this to me.
Yeah, that's a good note covering that, because he brought that up before in Acts. Remember? Yeah. You can't beat a man that's a Roman without a trial.
Yeah, well, when he talked to his own countrymen, or when he was talking to the Romans or someone else, he always made a point of his dual citizenship. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but yet he was a Roman citizen. He is a free man, and he wasn't supposed to beat a free man or do what they were doing to a free man because of just who he was. You know, because who he was, when he was born a Roman citizen, then he had rights just like they did. And just like, you know, if you're American, well, you're supposed to get all of the things that American is supposed to get when you're in America. So if, when he was in Rome, that really helped him a lot, because the Jews were under the rule of the Roman leaders. And so quite often he had stressed the point that I'm a Roman citizen. And he had been taught by one that knew the law and knew,
claimed to be freeborn.
Yeah. And
when he was talking to the guard.
Yeah.
The guard said, I had to pay a lot of money to get my citizenship. And Paul said, yeah, but I was freeborn.
Yeah. So that's a different, you know, that was worth a lot at times. And so he said he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So let's go back. And there's quite a little bit of scripture here that goes with this that Jack put out, but I want to read what Jack said first. And we'll go ahead and do that. Let me get on the right. Here we go. We're on the right page. So let me read what he said in verse 17. Out of the coin a great Jack says, but the Lord me stood by. The but Lord me stood by and strengthened me. That through me the message might be fulfilled and should hear all of the nations, and I was delivered out of the mouth lion. And out of the more recent English, it said, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fulfilled, and all the nations should hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. And so Jack says this, Paul had always been strengthened by the Lord. Ever since he called him on the road going to Damascus, Paul had always been strengthened. Now, it seems like at times he probably felt like he wasn't, but certainly when the Lord called you and you doing what his will is, a lot of the prophets died. But Paul lived to be an old man. So he was God's servant and of the body. Christ directed him where he should go and what he should do. So the direction, the GPS that Paul had was guiding Paul as to where he needed to go, or if he didn't need to go there, that same GPS told him to get out of there and go somewhere else.
On many occasions.
Yeah. So it was only normal that he would also give him the necessary strength, both mentally and physically. And the Gentiles needed to hear the message of the mystery which Paul was commissioned to speak. And that is a great thing because someone had to deliver this message and it was given to Paul. Now, if the people heard him say it, might be one thing, but if it was some of Paul's help, it might not have been as forceful or different because, you know, we talked about Paul maybe not being someone easy to look at because his eyes and stuff may have not have been back to what they once were. And he might look a little different or he might look a lot different. I don't know. But the fact is,
I think his physical appearance was a little challenging to look at.
Yeah. And
from what I've read.
And maybe his voice might have been too because he never thought he was a real eloquent speaker, seemed like. But what he had to say was very eloquent. It was something that gave people hope when they probably didn't have any hope at the time or didn't have a hope of their own. Paul had also been in the lion's breath. This is according to Jack. Paul had also been in the lion's breath area, but literally and figuratively, Satan or Nero and the zoological lions jeopardized Paul from time to time. So, whether it was one of the leaders of the nation of Italy, which they call Romans, if he was around the theaters where they did these things to people, if he wasn't there, he might have heard about them. Or, whether they were truly lions or whether they were people acting like they were going to devour Paul. It didn't make any difference because Paul, he got through it all. And the Lord showed him that, and showed Paul especially that, well, Paul, when I'm done with you, you'll know it. And so now he is knowing it because he's telling Timothy, he said, you gather up all these folks that I tell you to gather up, and you gather up all these things that I want. You come to me, and you come now if you can. You come right away.
So I agree. Somehow the Lord had been in such constant contact with Paul all down through his ministry.
Absolutely.
That when it come to this point, he didn't leave him hanging out.
No, there. No, he was.
Paul knew, I think, exactly what was about to come back.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Okay, we're going to look at several things I said, and we might get through this one, I don't know. But let me get my book straightened out here just a little bit. And first thing we're going to do is we're going to turn to Psalms. I want to go all the way back to Psalms, page 740. In Psalms, it's Psalms 22. Okay, where did I mark it out? And we're going to read from verse 12 to 25. And you know, everybody has heard Psalms 23 read, but sometimes it's something it goes a little before, and sometimes it goes a little after. Might give you a little different view of this. Okay. Verse 12. We're going to start at verse 12 on page 740 if you have a companion Bible. You're going to read 25. And it says, many bulls have compassed me. Many bulls. And it says, strong bulls of Bashan had beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravaging and a roaring lion. So even the stock that Paul was around even had a little contention with Paul sometimes. Paul says this. I mean, whoever wrote, might have been David, wrote this, and it says, and here Paul is talking like David. I am poured out like water. You remember what he said early on in the fourth chapter? I'm about to be poured out. He said, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And I can feel that right now in myself sometimes. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And I may tell of all my bones. Then look and stare upon me, and they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So this is not only like David was speaking, but also Christ was speaking. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darlings from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And two more verses. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye of the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. And sometimes we need to go back and do a little more reading in Psalms and see that these things are talked about in more places than we think they were. Okay, let's go back to Acts. We want to go back to Acts 23. So let's get back over in the book a good little ways. And we'll get through John and get to the Acts portion of it. Okay, Acts 23. I should have that marked. Let me see if I do. Yes, I do. Okay, Acts 23. We're going to look at verses 6 through 11 on page 1642 is where it's at. 1642. Of the 23rd chapter of Acts, 6 through 11. And here it says this, But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brother, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, and of the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. So Paul broke up that group into two different groups. And that's the way the Lord had allowed him to fight with the Word of God, because he could split them up and charge one with one thing and another with another.
It's also how he prepared him to make it through this. Only a Pharisee would have discerned what was going on and knew exactly what to say.
How to say it, yeah. Okay.
To fit one of them against the other.
Yeah. It says, For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisee confesses both. So see, he had divided them there. And there arose a great cry in the scribes that were of the Pharisees, part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if it be a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. So that was, see, he done it by what he understood, but they were answering for him without having to be asked to do so. He says, And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing that Paul should have been pulled into pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, and so must thou bear witness also at Rome. What do you think when the Lord showed up to stand by him there?
Yeah.
He said, Am I going to get blinded again?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't the deal that way. Okay, so that was Acts. And we're going to look next at 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1. Okay, we're going to pass Romans. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Let me get there. That's 1 Corinthians 6, so it must be the next Mark place over. Okay. First Corinthians 1:19-24. So I got to go one more page back. Yep. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:19-24. One is on one page, and then you turn the page and get the rest of it. And we're going to start on page 1697. 1697, and we're going to start with 19. Now it says this, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." The question is asked, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the word by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. And 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Amen. So this is how we get it. This is how we can understand it. Those that have the Holy Spirit living within them and expecting to be in the body of Christ. For those that are without, they don't have that understanding, because it is not easy to pick that up. You have to be called into this or brought into this. Because to find it on your own is hard to do. It is very tough to get that understanding, because that understanding is understanding from God. And sometimes we just can't get it. Okay, then we're going to go from 1 Corinthians 1 to 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Well, I gotta get back before Galatians. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. 28-32. 1 Corinthians 15, 28-32. And it's on page 1723 if you have a companion Bible. Okay, 28-32, four verses of scripture, talking about that the Father hath put all things under Christ's feet, and it's not all that is done at this period of time. And it says, "And when the things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, which is the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? And why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing and which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, Paul says, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought the beast at Ephesus, what advantage it me that if the dead rise not, let us eat, drink, and tomorrow we die. So he says, he goes back and says, okay, these things I had to take on in Ephesus was very troubling, and one of them was maybe being taken down by a lion. So these things still carry on until he gets to the person that says, well, you know, I better not do this. Okay, now the next one is Philippians again, but we're going to read Philippians 1:12-14. So let's go there next, I guess. And we got to go up by Ephesians to get to Philippians. And what did I say? Philippians 1:12. Okay, I got to go back one more page. Well, I didn't put my marker there, but I know where it's at now. Anyway, 1:12-14, and that's on page 1773. And I don't know where my marker went, but we'll do it anyway. It said, but I would that you should understand, brother, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather than unto the furtherance of the gospel. So he said these things that I had to put up with, man, they were placed there that I might have trouble. He said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all places, in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so, I guess in those days, if you spoke against some things, that whoever was in charge of where you were at the time may take it out on you. And certainly they were doing it with Paul in that situation. Okay, the next one is Colossians. I think I've got it marked out. Yeah. Okay, Colossians is next on the list. And Colossians, we're going to look at Colossians 1:23-28. And that's on page 1782 if you have a companion Bible. Okay, Colossians 1:23-28. And that starts on page 1783, and it goes to the next page, which you don't have to turn the page over to get the rest of 28. Okay, here we go. 1:23. So I wanted to do much more than this, but I knew we were going through a lot of it here, and I didn't know how much time I would have, so we'll just start here. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, and made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to complete or fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which we call the Holy Spirit, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Not in Jesus Christ, but in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what we have in Colossians. Now, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, let's see what we got here. Thessalonians and 1 Timothy. Okay, in 1 Timothy, it says 1:12 through 14 on page 1801. Page 1801, if you have a companion Bible, 12 through 14. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And Paul, you know, he had done a lot of problems. He had a lot of problems with this Jesus thing when he first started this. But yet he never forgot. Who was before a blasphemer? This is what he's saying he was. Putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. In 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read 15 too. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul says, if anybody was a chief sinner, I was. But I was put into the ministry by God's will. Okay? And certainly, he did. Okay. Now the next one, I got two more, is Hebrews 5. 6 and 7. So we're going to Hebrews. I've got it marked out. 5, 6, and 7, and that's on page 1880. No. 1830. It looked like 8. Well, I do need to change my Bible. So you want to 6. We're going to read 6 and 7 of chapter 5 on 1880. And it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So, evidently Christ came at one time as Melchizedek when he came to Abraham and them, and as they were in the land already. We got one more. And the last one is in 1 Peter. Let's see if I've got it. Yep. I've got it marked in two places. So, but there ain't but one set of verses I want to read. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9 on page 1862 in 1863. So we're going to start with 6 on 1862 and then go to 1863. And it says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." And so Paul understood that in a way that you and I may not ever have to understand that, but nevertheless, it was done that way. And I'm about 4 or 5 minutes over my time, and so we'll just stop there, and we'll pick up maybe those other 4 verses next time, and we'll have finished Jack's Workman's Interlinear, and boy, it's been a...
Which is quite an accomplishment.
It's been a blessing to me, I'm telling you. I have never been given anything in my life more, much more important other than the Word of God.
Is very helpful. Yeah. Very
and
good study.
I've had people say to me, boy, I've learned a lot. And I certainly have. And I know Ronnie will... say the same thing, because when you get involved in study, it's different from just reading.
Yep.
Even if you have the Holy Spirit to help you, it seems like there's more of it that you see and understand that way than any other way you could ever look at it. And so thank you for being with me and carrying on, and thank you for allowing the Lord to allow me to hopefully get it taken care of. And sometimes I begin to think, well, you know, I might not live that long, but I hope that I do. So, God bless, and have a good evening. And when you say your prayers, put a supplication in there for somebody.
Amen.
You never know how much they might deserve it or need it. God bless.